Well, what in the Adobe Audition is this? Yes, it's Tom Maley. This is the Write You a Song podcast, but this particular episode doesn't feature a songwriter. In fact, I'm not even going to play that little guitar sting thing. I just am dropping this in as kind of a surprise bonus episode because I didn't know what else to do with it. I'll explain here in just a sec. First, let me say that the next official episode with Matt Butler is still on track. It'll come out in a couple of weeks. I've got the interview recorded, and I just need to edit it up, and it's a great interview. He is amazingly talented. But in between, last summer, I had a chance to see an artist named Elvie Shane, came to town, played a small show for our radio station. Afterwards, I met his drummer, a guy by the name of Will Johnston. Turns out Will listens to this podcast. And we were talking back and forth about music and songwriting. And one thing led to another. Started wondering, why not talk to some of the musicians that make some of these records? And Will is a studio drummer. He also tours. He's got years of experience, and I think he's got a really interesting perspective. So I guess this is kind of an experiment of dipping the toe in the water of maybe expanding the podcast at some point to talk with musicians as well, because they're very much a part of the overall process of making the song too. This episode is really just back and forth conversational. There's only one piece of music that drops in, but it's a face melter. And I think you'll love it. And in the meantime, I hope you just enjoy the whole thing. Again, a different take on the creative process. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Will Johnston.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. I love the podcast.
And you play drums with Elvie Shane. Who else have you played for and with?
Well, I mean, I grew up playing with my mom. She was a singer-songwriter. Her name's Kim McLean. Done a lot of cuts as a songwriter. I played with her friend Shannon Morrison, which, you know, her dad, Van Morrison. I mean, honestly, there was a bunch of artists over the years. I was in a band for a while called Bear Creek Brothers that came down from Michigan. And it was kind of a country rock thing. Did that for a couple of years. I worked with a band out of Kentucky called Jericho Woods, which actually we just dropped a new single with them. We haven't toured in a couple of years, but Jericho Woods just dropped a new single today. It's called Stop Signs and Fence Lines. And so we've just been staying, you know, making music. We just haven't been on the road. So, but I worked with them for a couple of years. And then right before I was with Elvie, I was working with the guitar playing wonder, Daniel Donato. And he's been out of Nashville for a while now, and it's just a machine. And when it comes to playing guitar, I mean, it's just a wizard. And so I toured with him for a couple of years, and that was probably some of the wildest performances I've ever done.
You know, I normally, obviously, with this podcast, we talk to songwriters. I'm not a songwriter, but I love songwriting. My ignorance and naivete with drumming are really going to show here, because I know nothing about it. My kid had a drum set for about 10 minutes when he was in sixth grade, and he wasn't into it enough to endure the noise, so we sold it. Obviously, you know, the drummer is the skeletal framework of the band. It all starts with you, really.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of does, and, you know, obviously that varies a little bit from song to song, but ultimately, if the drums are supposed to be there and they're not there for a part of the song or a whole song or whatever it is, like, you're going to miss that. You're going to know it's not there. You're going to pick up on that, and it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel off, and it's not going to drive you and move you the way it would if the drums were there. And yeah, I mean, a lot, I would say in probably most bands, you know, professional touring bands, usually it's either the drummer or the bass player or like a rhythm guitar player. Somebody in the rhythm section is leading the whole band. And he said the drummer is like the catcher in baseball. Like on stage, like in baseball, the catcher is the only one that can see the whole field the whole time. And he's aware of everything that's going on. And if something needs to change, he makes the call to do that. And that's how I've always thought of being a drummer, is like, even if you're not the band leader, so to speak, you're still able to see everything that's going on and hear everything. And you have a big enough, loud enough instrument with so much rhythmic structure being pumped into that song that you have the ability and the authority to like direct that song and push it in a different direction if it needs to go there. But at the same time, you know, you end up, a lot of times you end up being the dude in the back that's just holding it down. You know,
just, the dude in the back just holding it down. I mean, I like that.
That's just fun. But yeah, you do have to, I think, to be a professional, like, touring drummer or in the studio for that matter. I mean, you gotta be willing to step up to the plate and you know, direct things if needed, because your instrument's one of the only ones that can do that, really. So
how is that for you then, being a hired gun, the varied artists that you work with? I mean, you're working with all sorts of different styles and performers and songwriting. Are you a naturally adaptable person? Is that kind of the way your personality is anyway, or musically, are you that?
I am a pretty adaptable person. I mean, I've always, like, just my personality is just kind of like that. I like meeting different types of people. I love going to different countries and meeting like people who just live completely differently than I do, you know, and like adapting to the way that things are there. And like, same with coming into a new band or working with a new artist, adapting to the way that they communicate, the way they talk to each other, the way they react to things musically or in person. And but musically, yeah, like I've just always been so passionate about music that like, it doesn't matter to me what I'm playing. I mean, I played jazz in high school and loved every minute of it. Bob Chandler at Franklin Road Academy in Nashville was my band director, and that dude made me fall in love with jazz. And I mean, for a kid that grew up like listening to classic rock and country, like I was like, jazz is stupid. And then he, like, I got into high school, man, and he's like, yeah, but check this out. Check out Dave Brubeck and Take Five, and like, just showed me like some of the classics, and I fell in love with it and adapted to it. So it's like, I don't care what it is. I think just having like a passion for music is enough to help you like adapt to, you know, different artists or different genres or different branches of the same genre. Cause you know how country is, it, you know, we've got like,
You talk about being the band director or the catcher, but at the same time, how important is it for you to listen?
Right, right. Well, you really, the thing is, like, you have to always be listening. It's not like a, like, be ready to do one or the other at all times. It's like you're constantly doing both, really. It's kind of an ebb and flow of, like you're throwing a fill in there to let everybody know we're going into the chorus, but then you get into the chorus and you're sitting back and you're just grooving and you're listening to what everybody else is doing and feeling out that pocket. And then if you hear the pockets, you're paying attention to what everybody else is doing, you hear that pocket's getting a little off, then it's your time to direct it again. Maybe you push it up a little bit and slow it down a little here and whatever. So it's like, as much as it is like be able to direct and be able to sit back and listen, it's also just like being able to do both simultaneously and feel it out, you know, and be able to feel what's going on and not just pay attention to what's going on, but internalize all of that.
So the drummer's not just back there spacing out and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're engaged the entire time. That's a lot of work.
I mean, I space out. trust me, it happens. It definitely happens. It is a lot of work, but it doesn't, if you really love doing it, it doesn't feel like a lot of work, you know? And that's kind of what I mean about like internalizing it, is like, you can break it down and kind of overthink it and think about like, oh, I gotta push them to do this, or I gotta listen to what the bass player is doing because I need to be playing off of him right now. And you can, like, those thoughts are kind of always happening. But if you can just take a deep breath and relax into it, I don't want to say it comes naturally, but it just kind of relaxes into like this muscle memory kind of thing. It's just developing that like brain muscle memory of feeling like the flow of the music and knowing how to react to that in real time, just by internalizing it and letting your brain get used to that, the repetition of like feeling what's going on and reacting to it.
Okay, so, yeah, you reference like something that comes natural. Does rhythm come natural? Like, do people either have it or they don't?
I think a certain extent of it does come naturally, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's gotta be, right? I mean, so like it's such a specific thing to like be able to feel a rhythm and repeat it, you know, like even if you're just clapping it back, mm-hmm. something you heard, like not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's gotta be, I mean, I don't think it's as black and white as like some people are born with a rhythm and some people aren't. I think it's just kind of, it's a gray area. It's like some people are born with a little more perception of rhythm and some people are born with a little less. And I think it's just like people with perfect pitch. Like some people have like perfect pitch, you know, and can like hear a note and repeat it right back. And some people have like a little bit of that, but it's not perfect pitch, you know, but they can get close. Mm-hmm. So I think rhythm's probably the same way.
I think it's like athleticism. I think that there are people who are certainly more athletically gifted than others. But then it's what you do with it. It's what you do with what you have and how hard you work at it. And I think there's a parallel here, what we're talking about and to what I've talked to a lot of songwriters about. And a lot of them, surprisingly, a fairly large number of them considering, never really like considered becoming songwriters. It wasn't like they were writing songs when they were 4 years old, you know, with a crayon, and they only kind of discovered it later because maybe they liked music and they decided that, you know, they wanted to try to be the whole package or whatever. And so they had to work at it. And some of them, you know, they've said that it kind of comes naturally to them, but they had to work at it. And others say, you know, it didn't come naturally at all and I had to work at it. So the common denominators, you still got to work at it no matter what.
Yeah, you do have to work at it for sure. And you know what's funny is like you really don't have to have a whole lot of that natural feel for rhythm or melodies to like to do it professionally. Like, I mean, it's kind of amazing. But I mean, if you really pay attention to you know, like professional drummers. Whether it's, you know, on Broadway in Nashville, somebody that plays full time or in an arena, I mean, or, you know, it applies to every instrument too. Key players, guitar players, bass players, not as much singers, but like there's some people playing professionally that never really had much of a knack for it. They had a little bit of that natural talent, but they drove the technique and the chops into their brains so hard for so long and practiced and honed that skill set enough that they could do it professionally. So like, it is kind of crazy because like you would think that to make a career out of playing music professionally, you would have to have like natural talent and be like a prodigy. But I mean, you know, there's people who didn't pick up a guitar till they were 20, 21, 24, 28 years old and play professionally. It's same with songwriting. Some people didn't figure out songwriting till they were older.
Yeah.
And a lot of them didn't have like a natural talent for it. It was just something they fell in love with. And as much as I think it's cool to think that like musicians are all people who were just born with this like crazy gift, it is a skill set, and to an extent it can just be learned, you know? And
it sounds to me like the common denominator isn't necessarily skill or gift. It's a love of music, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I could not have said it better myself. I mean, it really, and I tell you what, I would rather be in a band with guys who are like a 10 out of 10 on their passion for music, but like a 6 or 7 or a 5 even on like skill set or like natural talent. Like, rather you be less of a player, but just be so into it that you just drive it into your brain and keep working on it until it's good enough. And I've done that. I've actually done that. Like, I've brought people into groups before that were like, we were missing a piece, and I brought somebody in and I'm like, I know that this guy maybe doesn't have the chops. Maybe he does. I don't know how much he's been practicing, but maybe he doesn't have the chops, but I know he's a phenomenal human being, and I know he's passionate enough about this that we're going to love every second that he's a part of this. And it worked. Like, that formula works every time. Somebody who's passionate about the music, somebody who has the work ethic, and somebody that's just, you know, a loving person too, is just that, honestly.
Yeah. You find that chemistry, and when you find the right pieces that all fit together, it's magic.
Yeah. I mean, you spend so much time together in music, you know, whether it is the studio or on the road. I mean, you're either in the studio all day on sessions with somebody, or you're, you know, on the road in a bus, in a rolling apartment with 12 people in it. And you're just with each other all the time. I really don't, like, I feel like over the last couple of years, I feel like the only way I know how to put it is just, I want to be around loving people. And because I've seen a lot of different versions of that now that I've worked with. And that's really, because people always say, like, be a good hang in music. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but it's like, you might not be the most, like, talkative person, you know, or the most, like, maybe you don't want to dive into quantum theory with me in the front lounge of the bus at 3 a.m. But, like, you know, if I feel like you're coming from a place of love all the time, that's where I'm trying to come from. So, like, we'll meet in the middle. You know, I don't care if you're like a good hang, whether you drink a lot, you don't drink, you smoke weed, you don't smoke weed, you talk, you don't talk, like. As long as you come from a place of love, that's what I'm crazy about.
Well, it sounds like it's so important. And another thing, referencing back to songwriters, is how supportive they are of each other. Because when you are in a creative environment, you, in order for there to be creativity, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the thing about being passionate about the music too is like that kind of plays into it. It's like there's like this balance. Like, I feel like when we, like this past year when we were on the road and we were in a bus most of the year, and you might have somebody that is a really great hang, really fun to talk to, very talkative, very extroverted, outgoing. And their passion, maybe they have a little less passion for the music. That the music is kind of, they love it, but it's not like driving them crazy. But they're great to be around, you know? And then there's somebody else on the bus that it's like, they don't want to talk to you unless they have to, but their passion for the music creates a connection between the two of you that like, that nothing can replace. And so like, if you do something cool on stage, that's when they're going to come reach out to you and be like, that was sick. That was amazing what you did out there. And so there's like this balance between like being a so-called good hang and like just being passionate about what we're doing. And everybody kind of falls somewhere on that spectrum. And it gels, man. And when it does, when it all works, when everybody's kind of at a common ground on that spectrum and learns like where everybody else is at, it's so cool to watch that happen.
So what you're saying is kind of a blueprint for anybody listening who maybe is a musician, maybe they're young, maybe they're thinking about becoming a professional musician in some capacity. You're basically laying out the rules of the road.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of what it comes down to, is like you have to connect with these people that you're with on the road. Cause like I said, you are together all the time.
How much of your job is when you're with an artist and you're putting together a song or an album to take direction? I think, forgive me for going on with this question, but I think there may be like a perception that there isn't a lot of versatility to what the drummer can do, which I'm sure you would disagree with immediately. So within the confines of the studio, and working with the producer and the songwriters and everything else. What's your part? How can you best contribute?
It honestly has so much to do with who you're working with and what they're looking for. But you are contributing art, is how I mean, you're contributing your whatever your talent looks like that day. I mean, it's like, depending on the project, you might just be contributing time. You might just be keeping time the whole thing. Maybe it's just money beat, just kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4 all day long, and that's what it needed. And that
would you call that a money beat?
Yeah, the money beat. Yeah, the money beat. It's just
okay.
It's straight, boom, kick, boom, kick. Like, it's just straight. I mean, it that's the bread and butter. That makes you money. That's, if you can do that and keep time, you can make money being a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying that for decades. But yeah, I mean, I've had projects where, like, I've worked on projects where I had so much freedom with my creativity, and it was just whatever I could think to do, I was encouraged to just go for it. And a great example of that is Daniel Donato's live record. It's called A Young Man's Country. And we cut this whole record live to tape at Sound Emporium in Nashville. And we did so much weird stuff on that record. I mean, just went for it. And some of it, like, it all worked. And some of it was like, it kind of worked, but we left it in there because, like, that was the point, was to capture the creativity that happens when you put, like, 4 dudes in a room and just hit record and just let them do their thing. And there was no like cutting everything up and, you know, like picking and choosing parts. Like, it was live to tape, and we just cut it and left it in there. And it is amazing. It's you're hearing in it, like, you're hearing a live example of people just communicating with each other with music. So, like, I've done stuff like that where it's like, go for it, whatever you want. And that's your contribution is whatever comes to mind. But I mean, there's stuff too where, I was doing a demo with one of my buddies the other day, he's a songwriter, and we just wanted to demo one of his songs. And, he literally sat behind the drum set and played what he wanted me to play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, it was kind of like a dumbed down version of what he wanted, but it got the point across. So, like, I had nothing to contribute there except, like, playing it in time, you know, like, he contributed all the whole concept, that everything. All I did was put it in the right, you know, put all the beats in the right spot. Mm-hmm. So it varies, but that, I love that about studio work though, too. It's like, you can go in there, and I mean, if it's, you know, a producer you've worked with a bunch, then you kind of know what you're getting. But there's sometimes you go in there and you have no idea. You just go in and it's, I mean, it's another great example of just, like, being able to gel with people and just come from a good place, have a good attitude about it, and just get in there and just be accepting of ideas and who people are and how they approach things, and figure out how it fits in with your puzzle piece. Because we can all work together and make some crazy awesome stuff if we're just, like, accepting of each other. You know what I mean?
One of the debates with, I think, country music and music in general, pop music especially, not so much rock, but click tracks versus real drums. What's your take on that?
So you mean like programmed drums?
Yeah.
In like a computer? It really is the right thing for some stuff. Like, it really, there's some stuff that just needs that. And like, there's been a lot of newer country. Like, you'll hear it on Hardy's new record, The Mockingbird and the Crow. Like, there'll be like a section of the song, like maybe the first verse is programmed drums, and then the chorus is real drums, real acoustic drums, live player and everything. And so stuff like that, sometimes I hear it and I'm like, I mean, that was a good fit right there. Like, it was cool. And could you have done something cool with live drums too? Yeah. But that's not what they wanted to do. And I mean, the reason I don't get too bent out of shape about it, as far as like, oh no, programmed drums are bullshit and you should never use them. You should never, no, like, it's all music, you know, and it's just as much music as a live player. You're still having to pick the parts, pick the sounds, put them in the right places. Like, yeah, it's clicking through it on a computer or a drum machine or whatever, but it's still music. And at the end of the day, you're never going to replace the sound of a live drummer. Like, never. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't program the feel of a live drummer. They're going to hit things differently and time things out differently. And it's always going to be its own thing. And you can't replace that. So, like, I think programmed drums are awesome. And I mean, sometimes they suck, but you know, I don't.
Can you name me a song from the live recording that would be a good example of what you were talking about earlier of you guys just finding a great groove and just riding it out like a wave?
Yeah. There's one on Daniel Donato's A Young Man's Country record. It's called Meet Me in Dallas. And, I mean, he already wrote that song with some weird timings and stuff in it, and I mean, we went insane. Like, I don't think I've ever tried that many like tricks on the drum one song, but I threw it all in there.
Will, thank you so much. I hope I did you justice. You've educated me a little bit, and I'm going to listen to songs a little bit differently. And that's one of the things that I do this podcast for, is when I listen to a song, I want to have an experience. I want to be able to come away from an album or a song like with a slightly different perspective than I had before. And yeah. You helped me do that with the rhythm section, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I'm glad I could. Thank you so much for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
And that will do it for this very special surprise bonus episode of Write You a Song that really wasn't about songwriting, but more song creation. And thanks again to drummer Will Johnston for taking time and giving me the idea to do this interview. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to see Will out on the road with LV Shane this summer, just go to lvshane.com and you can see the whole schedule. It's E-L-V-I-E Shane.com. And the next official episode of Write You a Song, still going to drop in a couple of weeks, and it's with Matt Butler, who is an Americana singer-songwriter, but he's a lot more than that, and he has an incredibly powerful story to share. So until then, thanks for listening.